I went to the lectionary for this week, and the last line of the gospel lesson had something to do with weeping and gnashing of teeth. So I thought it may not be the most fun for an anniversary Sunday. So I thought, why not talk about covenant? And the very first covenant that we see in Scripture. And so we go to what for many of us is, I'm sure, a familiar story. With Noah and the ark and God's covenant with Noah. It's Genesis chapter 9, verses 8 to 17. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." Here ends the reading. God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Oh God, we pray for the gift of your Spirit in this moment, that it would surround and encompass us, that it would fill these words and that it would fill our hearts, that we might be encouraged, inspired, that we might be covered in the grace that we need to be called your disciples in this place. And now, Lord, we pray that you would speak in me, through me, and if need be, in spite of me. Amen. I always wondered why Noah's Ark was so popular in nurseries. It's in our church nursery, the picture of Noah and the animals that was in the church nursery in Alexandria. Before Noah was even born and named Noah, one of Katie's aunts gave us this beautifully painted wooden ark with Noah standing at the front and all of these pairs of wooden animals, and it's beautiful. And I get that the animals are cute and the whole 2x2 thing is endearing, but what comes after Noah and the animals loading into the ark is more R-rated. I caught the scene in one of those Bible miniseries on History Channel, and that the scene that they depicted is not one that you would paint on a nursery wall if you were painting the whole story. There was the darkness of floodwaters, and there were human beings struggling to keep their heads above it, and struggling and finally failing to keep their heads above the waters. And at first, I was watching the show, and I thought, this violence is kind of gratuitous. It usually is in those Bible documentaries, but then this is what happens according to the story. God sent a flood that wiped out most of the world that God had created, God's very self. And if you stop to think about it, it's not hard to understand why God felt the need to press Control-Alt-Delete on that world. Genesis says that the whole world was racked with violence, that the peaceable order that God had given creation had been disrupted, had been perverted. Violence and corruption and just plain evil was rampant in the world. It's not hard to understand God's desire for that, because it is familiar. Because I don't want to speak out of turn, project what I think onto you, but I would guess that a good many of us are looking around, particularly in this present moment, and thinking that if you were God, Control-Alt-Delete, reboot, wouldn't be the worst idea. Violence is rampant, Corruption is the rule. Whole communities have no clean water. Oil is pumping into the earth. The life that we have is so counter to the life that God intended for us, and it seems to be getting worse, not better. And sometimes you just think that, you wonder if the whole thing can be saved or if it's better to just start over. Sometimes I hear the news and I think about this book that I loved when I was a kid, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. You just know that? In the story, the people's food comes from the weather. The day begins with a brief shower of orange juice, low clouds of sunny side up eggs, followed by pieces of toast with butter and jelly sprinkling down. It hails hot dogs, rains mustard, and everything is great until this sort of weird balance in creation gets out of balance. Then it starts raining peanut butter and Brussels sprouts. Another day there's only overcooked broccoli. There's a pancake storm with pancakes so large they covered houses and a flood of maple syrup. And finally, the people accept that this world just cannot be salvaged. And so they take giant pieces of the stale bread that is lying around, glued them together with peanut butter, and set sail for a new land. And in this scene, you see them leaving this storm behind them, this chaotic, destructive world behind them. Some days I turn on the news, and that's how I feel. I just want to find some giant pieces of stale bread, glue them together, and let's just go somewhere else and start over. So in Genesis, God felt that it couldn't be fixed, and that destruction is troubling until you consider the destruction that was already ongoing before the flood ever came. But on the other side of the flood, when they emerge and the waters dry up, God makes a covenant. I always thought covenants were something that two people made together, like a marriage. Like a marriage is a covenant. A covenant is a promise. It's a pact that two parties enter into with each one holding some responsibility. I covenant with you and you covenant with me, and each of us brings something to the table that we agreed to do. But this covenant is one that God seems to make with God's self. And God says that it's with Noah and with his sons and with all his descendants, but it doesn't really require anything on the part of creation. God just says, I will not destroy anymore. There's nothing that creation has to do to avoid this wrath. It doesn't say, if you keep it on the straight and narrow, I won't do this again. God doesn't say that. God just says, no more will I destroy or destruct my creation. One writer says that this covenant is the divine response to a theological irresistible force paradox. Those of you who are comic book fans. God's unstoppable purpose to create a peaceful cosmos collided with God's immovable compassion for destructive, recalcitrant humanity. In other words, God's desire to see creation live out as God intended it collides with God's deep love and compassion for that creation. It is not as God wants it to be, but God cannot bring God's self to do anything but love it. And the result is the rainbow, the sign. The story says this is the sign. This is the thing that will remind both God and God's people of God's promise to stay grounded in that immovable compassion. So you could say that this is a transformative moment for God. We like to say that God is the same. God is the same yesterday. God is the same today. God is the same tomorrow. God is unchanging. But the story that this picture, the picture that this story paints is of a God that is only unchanging when it comes to God's deep love for God's people. This is the constant in the character of God. God's unwillingness to allow God's deep love for humankind to be met with a final resistance from us. God will not take our no for an answer. God continues to invite creation into this unified, peaceful, just life, the life that we were intended to have. God continues to invite us into this life that is built on the love of God and the radical love of neighbor. God continues over and over and over again, despite hearing our no, God continues and insists on loving us. This is the first of the biblical covenants that God makes. God goes on to make promises with Abraham and the Israelites and Moses on the march to freedom. God makes promises with Aaron and with David. But it's this covenant, this first covenant, that shapes the whole rest of the biblical narrative. It's one of the central threads of the entire story. The whole of the story is God's people trying to say no and God insisting on yes. It runs from this story of cycle of death and this story of Noah to the cycle of death in, that is seen on Jesus' cross, in which God insists on resurrection. God refuses over and over and over and over to give up on us. God continues to engage us with compassion, to engage us with unending grace. God continues to try and overwhelm our hard-heartedness with enough goodness to break them. The scripture says that God will put the rainbow in the clouds to remind God as much as it is to remind us. I wonder how many times God has needed to see that rainbow to be reminded. How many times God has looked down and just reached for the reboot button. I wonder if God needed that rainbow when God witnessed southern cotton fields. I wonder if God needed that rainbow when God witnesses bloated bellies in sub-Saharan Africa. I wonder if God needed to see that rainbow in Tiananmen Square, over the Berlin Wall, over Auschwitz, over 9/11. I wonder if God feels like starting over when God looks on our bursting prisons and jails. I wonder if God feels like starting over when God sees rafts of plastic floating in our oceans. And instead, God sees and we see the beauty of a rainbow lacing the sky and showing itself in many other places in our lives, insisting, God's insistence on hope in place of despair, on fidelity to us in place of abandonment, on life for us in the place of death. This is the promise that God makes to us without requiring an equal commitment on our behalf. Before God knows how we will respond, maybe actually in spite of knowing how we will respond, God knows that we will not match this commitment to this kind of beauty in God's creation, and yet God graces us with it in any way. So, somewhere, somebody way back when, I don't know the story, had the wisdom and the foresight to call this place covenant. To say something about this place being a reminder of God's covenant, God's fidelity, God's faithfulness, God's initial grace and mercy that comes in spite of how we might respond. And I want to suggest this morning that as we mark this occasion, 31 years of ministry together, that the covenant God has made with us is true and faithful apart from whatever promises we might make, but that we can look to the covenant that God has made with us as a way of shaping the covenant that we make together and to the covenant that we make with our neighbors and friends who live near us. I got out these sheets of paper this week. They stay filed away for most of the year, and we bring them out on Pentecost and on this particular Sunday. And on it is our covenant. We should have a covenant if we're going to call ourselves covenant, right? And there are so many names here. Lots of names I know, many names I don't know. Some on here that are some of the very first signatures, Dick Reeves and Jerry and Debbie Miller. It says, the Covenant Christian Church Disciples of Christ was initiated by and is a part of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ in North Carolina and in the United States and Canada. This action resulted from the need to establish a community of faith, where worship, mission, and fellowship lead people to love God, self, and one another. This congregation of God's people in fellowship with all Christians seeks to bring the gospel of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to all people everywhere. We welcome into membership all who accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and who wish to unite with this fellowship by transfer of membership or baptism. We seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit in all our activities. We covenant to provide Christian worship, education, and love for one another according to the life and teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ and as revealed to us in the Holy Scriptures, including observance of the Lord's Supper each Sunday. We will exercise Christian forbearance, praying for and sympathizing with each other. We promise individually to give our church our time, our talents, and our treasures as we are able for the furtherance of our Lord's kingdom. With the support of the Holy Spirit, we promise to witness for our Savior Jesus Christ. Whew. That's a lot. With the support of the Holy Spirit, we promise to witness for our Savior Jesus Christ and commit to a mission of Christian service to all people. We, the undersigned, do covenant in Christ's name. We're on page 5 now of that covenant. And the covenant we have made really is just that we will tell the story and that we will amplify the covenant that God has made with God's people. Really, the covenant that God has made with God to be faithful in love and in obedience and in compassion over and over and over again to God's people. And so what does it mean for us to be a living rainbow in this place, a sign and a symbol of God's faithfulness, of God's unending love, to be in the midst of our community, a place where folks can remember that no matter how many times we have said no, no matter how many times we have wandered away, no matter how many times we have been shut out, that this is a place where all can come to know and embrace the love of God, the unending compassion. I don't know, there's something innate in us that when you see a rainbow, you want to stop and take it in. How many of you, when you see one, you just keep driving? Never. We're hardwired to see signs of God's unending love for us, all around us. What would it mean for us to be that kind of place? To structure and share our life together so that when folks see Covenant's light shining, they don't just keep driving. God has showered God's love on us for 31 years. Some of you have already entered into this covenant here in this space. I want to invite you, if you haven't yet, if you've been thinking about it, wondering about it, if you want to enter into covenant with this place, or if you have already and just haven't put your name on here, as we enter into a time of silence and reflection, thinking about these questions, about what it means to be a sign of God's covenant promise in this place, if you feel so moved to sign, to add your name to the many others who have covenanted together, to come forward and put your name here and let us go forward in faithfulness together. Amen.